Yay!
Hello! We are live, and this is the Renegade Society Radio Show. I am Sarah Erickson, Director of Sales and Marketing, and we are here with just me and Scott today because Danny is having technical difficulties, but she is joining us in not person, in the digital world, as she is a millennial, it makes sense, in the chat. So if you want to say hi to Danny, she's over there. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing great. So Danny is here. If we actually allowed her to talk, she would just show up on the screen as the Renegade logo. And every time she speaks, it kind of pulses and does those like little audio lines. And we figured that was a little too creepy. But
it's true.
The thing is, we can talk about her and she can hear us right now, but she can't defend herself.
We did just realize that. It's wonderful. That's what happens when you upload your body and brain into the digital world and just get rid of that carcass.
That's true.
That's what you get.
Not a bad idea.
I'd be down for that. I'd totally upload myself.
You want to be uploaded?
Yep, I'm ready.
I don't know. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I don't know if we need Sarah integrated with the interweb.
Uh-oh. Enemy of fun everywhere.
Right. Every gaming platform would crash.
It's true. So what are we talking about tonight? What's going on?
Nothing. Did you tune in for Sunday for the big event?
No, I didn't.
So once a year, there's a major event where all of the biggest companies in the world make their most creative commercials and they put them on TV on this specific Sunday.
Wait a second. Yeah. What's TV?
So let's back up to the 50s. No. So they put them on there and it's really cool. So you can watch the show and in between these really interesting, like, creative commercials, they also have this other thing going on. So you got to kind of, like, sit through that. If you DVR it, you can just fast forward through that part, and you can watch the interesting creative commercials. But if you want to watch the other thing, you can watch that too, but that's not why anybody tunes in.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's just the commercials. Or you wait until the next day when other people make lists on the internet of the best commercials and then you just watch those ones.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Okay, so tell me, what was the best commercial that happened during the Super Bowl?
I don't know about the best commercial. There were some good ones. There was the new Avengers trailer. They had a teaser for that. That was okay. It was fine.
I hope that movie is good. I loved all the other ones. They were wonderful.
So that trailer starts off kind of creepy. Like, have you ever seen things like what was that show, like the Left Behind stuff, like on HBO and mm-hmm. The Leftovers was about if all of a sudden one day people all around the world, like, I don't know, a third of the population just disappeared, because the premise is that they all went to heaven, right? So we're all like
left behind.
There's been a bunch of those book series, but the Avengers trailer kind of starts off like that, where, right, imagine if this happened for real, like all of a sudden 50% of the population just disappeared. That'd be traumatic.
Yeah, like Why the Last Man, another great comic series,
right,
that covers the same topic.
Right, yeah. So that's the way the trailer starts out. Like, just a little bit. You just kind of, everybody's depressed.
Oh! We don't need that. This is the happy season. We have Valentine's Day coming up. Yeah. There's all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah.
Can't be depressed.
That was good. I was a little disappointed in the one they teased with the dude, right?
The Big Lebowski one?
Yeah, so his character from the Big Lebowski was going to have something, and it was a beer commercial where he goes up to the bar, and instead of ordering a White Russian, he does something different, and Sarah Jessica Parker's in it too. So she didn't order a Cosmo. That was the joke for her, right, from Sex and the City.
Yep.
She ordered some beer, like, whatever. Like, it was fine. Maybe Bonacore would like it because it involved beer. I hear that.
He would probably enjoy that. Except he'd probably critique the beer and tell us whether or not it was the right one. And then we would find out more about beer.
That's true. By that point, I wouldn't be listening to him anyway.
Oh, no, he was actually on a recent episode of Rolling Dice and Taking Names, and then I was the next guest on that show. So I'm excited to hear both of those when they come out.
Wait a second. Is that the show where they ask you at the end, their very last question, what flavor ice cream you would be?
No, they have evolved. They have really good questions. I was super impressed. So now...
No, I'm not saying that... Wait. I wasn't implying that they had bad questions.
No. Their old questions were good, but they have continued evolving their question process. And so now they're asking you to rank three things. So, for example, they asked me roses, chocolate, or gems. But you don't have to rank them by how much you want them or like them. You can rank them by whatever you want. So I rank them by what I would least like to find in the bottom of my closet next year on Valentine's Day. It makes it more creative. It's more like a game.
Yeah, I was impressed. I think, though, this is the one, because I did this podcast, and I think Bonacore was on the week before me.
Again?
Yeah.
What's that all about? Maybe he's always on it.
And maybe, he's got nothing else to do. So his ice cream flavor that he listed would be my first choice for my ice cream flavor. I think he said something like dark chocolate with almonds or something, right? Like would be like my first choice or whatever it was. But then I watched his episode. And I'm like, man, and they had told me they're going to ask me this question at the end. I'm like, well, I don't want to be the same as Bonacore. Like, that's bad luck. So I had to come up, I had to lie and make up some, like, my second ice cream choice. But tell them that it was my first. What? So it was very disingenuous.
Oh, yeah. Worst interviewee ever.
Right. But I love ice cream. So it's not that. It's only a white lie because I love all ice cream.
You do love all ice cream. That's a running theme. When we go to shows, we always have to go get ice cream.
Yeah. Why are we traveling otherwise?
Most important part of traveling. Oh, yeah. Man. So those were all the Super Bowl commercials. Did you learn anything important from them this year?
No, I didn't learn anything. I learned that waiting and just watching them afterwards is the smart decision.
It's true. I was a little bit busy this weekend because we have something pretty exciting that we did this week.
What'd you do?
We launched a Kickstarter. Yay!
Oh, you mean, I thought you did something exciting.
Oh, that was exciting. I was excited.
So you stayed home all weekend and worked on the Kickstarter.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's good. Okay. That's good. How's that going, Sarah?
It's wonderful. We have so many new friends now. It's great. Oh, we have 881 new friends right now, actually.
Oh, that's pretty good. And it's been for, what, about 24 hours? A little over 24 hours?
Yeah, just a little bit more than that. So how many of the people in chat have backed this campaign? Just curious. I know we sent out a little thing to you guys earlier, so hopefully a few of you are here. If you are, we might tell you some fun things about the game.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's this game all about?
Can I tell you the backstory? That's the most exciting part. Okay. So we're in the Nevada desert, which is strangely a lot like where I live, except that it's warm instead of cold. But you're out there with like big trucks and guns and hats and things that you would find in Montana too. But you're in Nevada and you have all of these friends kind of wandering around, but the government has come in, sort of like Area 51, and you've noticed weird trucks rolling around that you haven't recognized before. And it's a small town, so you pretty much know everything that's going on usually. But this is weird. Something strange is happening. So you start investigating and you come into contact with one of these government people, and they offer you money to go and collect things from the desert that are important to them. And you think, well, it's probably some rocks or something dumb. Who knows? We'll go wander around. That's fine. But you come to realize that what they're actually looking for are escaped crossbred alien worm creature eggs, which is not what you were expecting, but it makes sense why they would want to contain them, because they were apparently doing some experiments, some genetic engineering went awry, and now these monsters are out there attacking people, causing all sorts of problems, and all these earthquakes you'd start noticing around town are coming from these worms, because they burrow underground and then they pop up, they lay their eggs, destroy lots of things, throw rocks everywhere, and then go back down where it's nice and safe. So in Terra Below, the goal is to wander around the desert, get these eggs, don't get attacked by the worms, find weapons, find items to protect yourself, and be the first person to get to either 20 points from turning in eggs and killing these weapons of remote massacre, worms, or you have the most points when somebody dies. So the game will end when somebody runs out of their 3 life points, which is represented by 3 characters, but the game will immediately end and then you score your points.
Right.
So that's Terra Below.
So they were making these things in a lab.
Uh-huh.
That's why you like this.
Uh-huh. It's amazing.
For anybody that doesn't know Sarah, before Sarah worked in the game industry, she worked in a lab and killed lots of things.
I did do that. I'm sorry, mice. I have worked with genetically engineered mice, lots and lots of them. I've worked with glow-in-the-dark mice, actually legitimately glow-in-the-dark.
Whoa.
It wasn't on purpose either. This is kind of funny. So I had special mice I was working on that had a genetic deficiency so that we could test to see what part of the immune system was activated when this disease was introduced. And we worked with them in this area that used a UV light to kill all of the bacteria if it got out. So we go take our mice out of the place where they're supposed to be, put them under the UV light, and they were bright green because they had been accidentally swapped with some other green fluorescent protein mice. So that was unfortunate for my experiment, but quite surprising. Real story.
This is actually really how we wind up with horrible creatures in the desert. And we need to hire a bunch of people to go capture them and kill them for us.
Yeah, this story seemed very realistic, true to life.
Okay. Awesome. So I had an idea. Ooh, I had an idea for some expansion content now.
Woo.
Nice. I'm not going to say
it. Tubes.
No. Mm-mm. Nope. a whole other thing.
You're not going to tell me?
So we could do an alternate board with a whole different map. So I'm going to tell you. So,
Yay!
So we could do a whole different board with an alternate map with different mechanics to simulate different environmental conditions and different creatures that would have evolved in those. And we could call it Madness in Montana. Terra Below, Madness in Montana. And it's all in the snow. And we get snow creatures coming up from under the ground. And you have to deal with snow. Now you have to have different like snowmobiles to move because, you know, truck's not going to move, or you have to put a plow on your truck and all that.
Yeah, it can be set in this little tiny town that's way out in the middle of nowhere. And they have what's called a BSL-4 there. It's one of the highest containment facilities in the country because it's really in the middle of nowhere. They put it there on purpose. So yeah, this is great. I like it.
Great. We have an expansion. All right. Mike Elliott, okay. CC Petty, we've got a job for you. We have a new board.
Oh, fun. Yes, we didn't forget to mention this is a Mike Elliott game. He's pretty awesome. So,
he's designed a couple games.
Mm-hmm. What else? You were going to say something exciting.
No, I don't want to tell everything. Oh, we have other ideas, though, too.
Mm.
Right. So, what's going on with the story? So Banana Chan wrote a story to kind of introduce the world to people because we have some other ideas for this world, but... So how are we doing that? How's that? That's rolling out a little bit at a time?
Yeah. So anyone who's a backer is going to be getting updates from us every couple of days that have parts of this story. So I just told you the brief overview that's basically what you'll find in the rule book. But if you want to find out about the specific heroes in the story and what's going on with their lives as this whole thing sort of expands, definitely read those updates. If you're not a backer yet, you can still go to our page and click on the updates and then read through them. But if you're a backer, you'll just get them emailed to you directly. So we're going to be posting those a couple pages at a time. And then once we're done with the section, our plan is to put that up in a place where you can more easily read it all together. Because we're kind of giving you little bits and pieces of it at a time, but we want you to be able to read through the whole thing a little more easily. So it's going to be neat. It's a great story. Banana Chan is awesome. She's written for a few other things, including Kids on Bikes, which It's a role-playing game that we also did, and it's got a whole, actually, Strange Adventures Volume 1 has a bunch of content from different writers in it, and that's coming out later this month, and she was one of the authors in that.
Yeah. Hey, I noticed that we unlocked the saddle for the hidden cache.
Yeah, right? We did.
Saddle card. When do we get to know what's the next thing to unlock in the hidden cache?
Ooh, I think that's top secret. It's top secret. Well, we have two things in the hidden cache that we have not yet unlocked but have been revealed.
Oh, they're in the other graphic, huh? I'm looking in the wrong graphic.
Yeah, so the saddle has been actually unlocked, but then the ramp is totally revealed. And somebody mentioned in chat, ramp the mountain. I need that as a promo card. I could hand it out at shows. Ramp the mountain. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So the ramp is hilarious because the backside of the board, we explained this in an update this last night. Basically, on the backside of the board, there's this canyon. On the front side, it's just the flat desert, but on the backside, there's this open crevasse, and it's shaped kind of like an X. And if you want to, if you're on one side of it, you can ramp over to the other side of it. You're jumping with your car because you're so good at driving things, apparently. So you jump over it, and you can get to the other side. But if you roll poorly, then you might end up falling to your death in the bottom of the canyon. So you need to be a little careful. It's some good push your luck. It can be very exciting, though. Well, last time I played that definitely caught me off guard and I fell to my death. But then I just had another character, so it was fine.
That's right. I mean, to you, they're all just mice.
Oh, no. but not the dog. The dog is my favorite character.
Right.
Yeah, one I would make sure never died. Right. But anyway, getting back to the ramp. So the ramp comes with an item card that will give you a bonus for trying to jump over the canyon. So that can come in very handy. You can keep your dog alive better that way.
Neat. Great.
And if you're curious what some of those cards say, I know they're a little blurry in the images, so we're going to be posting those in a bigger picture so you can actually read them tomorrow.
Cool.
Yeah,
no, it's nice. No, so far, so good. This is really unfolding. So, right, like a big reason why we decided to run Terra Below on Kickstarter is because we wanted to show everybody all the cool stuff that we had planned and get feedback on it and all that. But also, we tend to not be a Kickstarter company, right? We release a lot of games. This is only our third Kickstarter in 4.5 years. So we kind of want to know who our customers are too. So that's a big part of it. We had a lot of fun running Power Rangers. So we decided to do it again because we have the fun. Sarah did all the work.
No, that campaign was amazing. And I actually was super stressed out before we started it and didn't know how it was going to go. And it was sort of like that same feeling you got in junior high, the first day of classes where you're going to meet all these people. You didn't know how it was going to go. But Power Rangers was such an amazing experience. That community is awesome. They're so positive. And we were just really lucky to get to know some of the people who backed that campaign. So we wanted to do it again. And I think that's, so far it's going really well. I actually have a list of how many times each person has commented. So I'm watching that. And then we could go and see that those are the people who are sort of our cheerleaders in the community. And that's pretty exciting.
So you have a list? You're like stalking people?
It's more like Santa Claus.
Oh, you're like Santa Claus. Well, Santa Claus is kind of, yeah.
He's a little bit online. Yeah, I don't know if Santa Claus was a thing that started today. I'm not sure that would go over quite the same way.
Oh, no, that's true. Yeah. This jolly old man just shows up in your house and gives you toys.
I don't know if that would work out.
No, maybe not. Yeah, somebody just said, I have a list. Well, that's not creepy. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Game Media, they say, she stalks me, I know it. That's Rick.
Yes, I do stalk Rick. So I'm going to be stalking you, Rick, in New York Toy Fair next week, actually. That'll be fun.
Oh, that's true. Don't judge me, Scott. I'm always judging you, Rick. All right, so Terra Below, yeah, it's going really, really well. Like, we're We're over 800 backers and just seems to keep plugging along, and we still have a lot of stuff to reveal. Is there anything, are we given any, do you have any spoilers, anything new that you can tell people?
Ooh.
Can you tease anything?
Can you keep them entertained for a moment?
Entertained for a moment? Sure. I can answer questions from chat. You can go.
Okay, answer questions from chat for a moment. I'll be right
sure.
back.
Be okay. gone. Jason Miller, why would you stalk Rick? Oh, in the bathroom at Origins. That's creepy. Yes, it did sound, no, it didn't sound weirder than it was. It just sounds weird because it's weird. So poor Danny is, oh, so we could all talk about Danny. Who wants to ask questions about Danny? Because since she can't defend herself, she's stuck in chat. Feel free to post your questions. We will give you the, uh-oh, Sarah's back already. All right, no more talking about Danny anymore. Sarah's back.
Oh, no. So I got something pretty exciting in the mail yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yay! Yeah.
That's a digitally printed box.
It is. This is not real, but it's mostly real. A lot of the stuff in here is going to be what it looks like at the end. Yeah. So let me show you this. This is, I think, one of the most hilarious and impressive parts of the game. So this is the board. I can't actually get it all on the screen at the same time. I think that if this were on the floor, I could probably curl up and fit only on this egg. It's so huge. So this is the board.
Nice.
Pretty awesome.
So why do you have this digitally printed prototype?
So I can play it.
Why do you get to have one?
I'm excited. My dog's excited too. I'm going to New York Toy Fair next week, and I'm going to be showing this off to some of our industry partners, like retail store owners and some other people who may be interested in seeing this.
Cool.
So yeah, so that's why I have a copy of it. But I am missing one key component that I can't show you. The vehicle meeples I had to send to Dan. We are doing something special and unannounced that he needs them for.
I know what it is.
If you want to tell him, we have not announced that. I have a plan for an announcement later, so you may have to wait.
I won't spoil your plans.
Okay. So yes, that's why I have this copy. This is actually the exact copy that Tantrum House had when they did their video. So pretty cool. Okay. So anyway, there's the board. I figured I would show off just a couple of the cards if you guys want to see one or two of those, because we really haven't shown off hardly any of those yet.
Yeah, let's check them out. So you should take a picture of yourself with the board for scale and post it in one of the updates.
Oh, that's a good idea. I will do that. That's
now, cool. I mean, you might need to stand next to something for scale so people know how big you are. It's not like you're 6 feet tall.
It's true. Okay, so let's see. I'm going to find some good, important cards here. And these cards also are not finalized. They're the right size, but they're already not holding up quite as well as our regular cards do. So normally we print cards on super high quality paper that doesn't chip very much on the edges. This is not the same paper we normally use.
Yeah, this is digitally printed, a hand-built prototype. So
yeah.
Jason Miller in chat says, use a pineapple for scale.
A pineapple? What's that from?
She doesn't have just a pineapple for scale. So we know, how big is a pineapple? How big is a Sarah? How big is a terrible old board?
I see. It does kind of look like a pineapple too.
Yeah. But the problem is Sarah's in Montana, and if they have pineapples there in the winter, they're like $100.
Oh yeah, we don't get pineapples in the winter. Oh boy. All right. So speaking of scale, I did want to show you these. So we have some different types of cards. These littler ones are some of the item cards. For example, the trucker hat. And this one says, once per turn, you may move diagonally. Discard this card if your leader dies. You may only wear one hat at a time. There's a whole bunch of different hats in the game. They all do different little bonus things. but I particularly like that one. I thought that was pretty cute. So that's the size of the item cards. Also the same size as the weapon cards. So you'll see those are also little.
Fire. There we go.
Yep. So this is the semi-automatic rifle. And it says, during a worm attack, discard this card to roll 6 dice, which is a lot of dice. For every result of 5 or higher, deal 2 damage. And that's important because these worm cards, like this one right here, each have an amount of health. So this only has 4 health. You could theoretically kill her with 6 dice pretty easily. Wouldn't be too hard. So that's really helpful to get these weapons. And you'll get these by collecting rubble that you find lying around after the worms attack. They throw these rocks up in the air. To be able to move through a space, you have to clear the rubble. And then once you have 3 rubble, you can turn that in for either an item card or a weapon card. And so like I said, this is what the worms look like. They have an amount of health. So when you're attacking, you'll need to deal that much damage using items and weapons. And they also have, this number here is how many cards will need to be in the terror zone before they activate. That's my favorite part of this game. I love it so much. So the terror zone, I'm just going to show you the bottom half of this board, bottom part of this board. So down here, we've got the whole rest of the board is going to extend, oh boy, up this way. You'll see the spots you run around on. But in this bottom area, this is called the terror zone. And that's where these worms are going to go when they come out. And if you get, let me make sure I'm showing you this right. Oh, they're going to go up here. And then when you get enough cards to activate a worm, the cards are going to go right down there beneath it. Then the worm will pop out and throw rubble and attack in all of the places on the card. So for this one, it's going to make an X pattern. And you probably don't want to be in the X pattern, but if you are in there and you have the right weapons, you can kill the worm and then you're going to get victory points. You only get 1 victory point for each worm that you kill, unless it has a bounty on it. And if it's got a bounty, then it can be actually quite a lot of points. So sometimes you run towards the worms and sometimes you run away from the worms.
Or isn't there a way to maybe direct some worms towards your opponent?
Yeah, so this is what you're going to be placing in the terror zone. You'll have a hand of cards, and these are your vehicles. They'll be represented by a vehicle meeple that is really cool. So we're just going to stop for a small second and talk about the technology of these meeples. Normally, meeples are like a cookie. So they use a big cookie cutter, and they press it down, and they're cut out, and then you will stamp the front side and the back side if you want to. So that'll make like little patterns on them or whatever. But for these meeples that we're making that I don't have because I sent them to Dan, we're actually stamping the front side and the back side and the top side. So they'll have tinted windows. Did we unlock that already or are we still working?
No, we haven't unlocked it yet.
That's the next one.
Spoiler.
No, it's been revealed, but no, that's the next one we're gonna unlock. I'm so excited. So yeah, it's really cool because it actually makes it look like a whole real vehicle instead of just having the things on the two sides and then having a blank top. We actually are stamping that tinted window. Okay, back to vehicles. So you'll have a hand of cards and you have a certain number of action points for this one to be 4, depending on which vehicle you play. When you play this vehicle, it goes into the terror zone and it's going to move and you pick which worm you want to put it under and it's going to move the worm this direction. And there can be up to 3 different directions that moves it 1 space at a time. So it's sort of burrowing under the ground. It'll move under there and then when it attacks because it has enough cards on it, it's going to pop up in that place. So this can help you move it either towards you, away from you, towards somebody else, towards a building. Whatever makes the most sense for your current strategy. So that's how you affect the worms. Basically, the idea is that they're making noise and the worms can hear that noise that's happening. So they go towards it and then we'll pop up.
Nice. So Jason Miller is trolling us and says, so you're not stamping the bottom with the transmission? Cancel the pledge.
Fair enough.
We try so hard.
We do. We can't have everything.
So we need an app that every you just press the button and it's an
a terror zone.
Right, it's just Sarah saying that.
Yeah.
Well, Or maybe we don't need that.
We just need to post my phone number on the internet, and then you can call me and I'll just say it for you.
Challenge accepted.
Stretch goal. Worst stretch goal ever.
That could be bad.
Oh, dear. Yes, I would get no sleep.
So Terrible O, lots of stuff going on. What else? So you're going to Toy Fair in next week, right?
Yeah. So I leave right after Valentine's Day.
Okay. And then Dan Bojanowski is going on a little trip, but that's a surprise.
Secret adventure. He has a mission, actually.
He does. So those of you that are following the campaign, Dan's in the chat and stuff. He was the producer on Terrible O, and he was incredibly involved in it and knows all the stuff about all the things. So he's in there. You guys can ask him questions and stuff, and he'll tell you things. Maybe not as much as Sarah, but you know.
Yeah, Dan does know all the stuff. So he's been working on this game for quite a while, actually, since almost the beginning of when he started working at Renegade.
I signed this game with Mike in Essen the month before he started.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Cool. played it in Essen with Mike in some little cafe.
Nice.
Are we eating schnitzel? Because that's all you get to eat when you're in Germany is schnitzel.
It's true. The schnitzel zone.
Like the danger zone, but
much worse. Oh no. So yeah, I'm pretty excited to finally start seeing pieces of it come together because it has been a long time. We've been working on it, and we actually did not really originally plan on doing this as a Kickstarter, but as we went along, we kept finding more things we wanted to add, and we kept putting new artwork in here, and it just looked too good. We wanted to make sure people actually saw it.
Yeah.
So it's fun to see that happening now.
Yep. Yeah, it's super fun. So, all right. So we have that. You're going to New York. Dan's going somewhere that we'll tell people later. Then we have Gamma in March. And what else? We have some new games that are just hitting this month. That's important.
Yes, we actually have a release today. This is from one of my favorite designers in the entire world who I have never met yet. It is Reichelt by Uwe Rosenberg. And that just came out.
Oh, you've never met him?
I haven't, no.
So you know when we were in Germany last year and we were having dinner with some people from another company? So Uwe was sitting like two tables over from us.
That's amazing. Essen's a pretty cool place.
Yeah. He was just sitting over there. Oh, all right. Next time we see Uwe, you get to meet Uwe.
Nice.
All right.
That's exciting. I'm such a nerd. All right. That'll be exciting.
you can go up to him with your Reichelt and go, Mr. Rosenberg, will you autograph this for me?
I totally will too. That's what I did with Arboretum. I'm totally a fangirl with Dan Kassar. I was so excited to get him to sign my copy. It was great.
Cool. Nice. All right. So Reichelt is out now. Finally, it was delayed. We apologize. Shipping stuff across water and then customs. This is the first time we've had a serious customs delay, but that was like 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, so usually we're shipping things most of the time from China. So it's going across the Pacific Ocean. It comes into either Vancouver or LA or one of the ports over there. And so they kind of know us. Like once you've shipped enough stuff, then all of your paperwork is there and you're all set. But this one came over from Germany. And so it came into a different port and they were suspicious. Renegades. It's understandable.
Mm-hmm. That's like the time that we shipped Fuse for the very first time. That's the only other Renegade game that actually has ever gotten pulled for inspection.
Really? I didn't know that.
Think about it. A container coming over and the manifest says Fuse.
Board game. Maybe. <Sure. laughs>
I think somebody was curious and said, what's this all about? So they inspected Fuse.
That
caused us to miss, we lost like a month.
Wow.
Was supposed to come out end of October, early November. Didn't come out until December 13th. I remember it well.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, it does happen, but hopefully not for anything else this year. I mean, it's too bad about Reichhold, but if it had to be something, at least it wasn't the end of the world. So
yeah, that's not so bad. So okay, so Reichhold, and then in not even 2 weeks, in like what, 8 days, there's a holiday coming up.
A holiday.
Yeah, I know you don't care about this holiday.
That holiday. Oh, I really didn't know, actually. Yesterday was the Lunar New Year. I knew about that one. That was pretty exciting. Okay, so next Wednesday, Hokkaido is coming out. But then the next day is the 14th, and that's Valentine's Day. So Kitty Paw Valentine's Day is already out, but you can celebrate it and give it to whoever gamer in your life needs some kittens on Valentine's Day. So a lot going on next week. We also have Kids on Bike Strange Adventures that is also coming out, I believe, next week. And then the week after, we have our new edition of Trajan, which is by one of my other favorite designers I've never met.
Stefan Feld.
Yes. Yay. You figured it out.
Oh, yeah. Is that Oh, it's good to know now.
So, Stefan Feld, he's done lots of really good stuff, but Trajan was actually the very first game of his that I played because it's an older one. And we were just finally republishing it because it's been out of print, very hard to find for quite a while now. And yeah, we left everything the same, except there have been some updates to the rule book. I noticed I was actually playing with my 2011 version a few nights ago, and it is not as obvious or clear with some of the rules as the 2019 version. So I was happy we got some good updates in there, but all the gameplay is the same.
Yeah, just a refresh of the rules, and Hutch, they put a new piece of artwork on the box. Not as dark. So, all right, well, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else going on? Are we giving anything away on this episode? Well, Danny promised to give stuff away.
How do we do it without her?
Oh, and it's a visual thing, right? She has to hold something up?
I have no idea.
Oh.
Oh, man. Well, maybe she can do it in the chat.
Maybe. Oh, somebody in chat. Oh, Matt just reminded. So Danny and I will actually be up in LA on Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, we're having a not romantic, platonic working trip to go shoot the Power Rangers episode of Game the Game.
That's going to be awesome. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I think I said this on the previous one, but I told Robin, you know, I was like, oh, I have to be up in LA on Valentine's Day. And she's like, yeah, whatever. Who cares?
That's hilarious. That sounds about right. After you've been married for a long time, you know, sometimes you just don't care anymore. My husband actually is hanging out with his mom this week. He left, completely abandoned me, went to Arizona because he knew I was running a Kickstarter. I was going to ignore him all week anyway. Very smart.
Yeah, we have the best spouses ever.
We do. They get it.
They do. Okay, that's a problem. Oh. What was she going to give away? Tell us in chat, guys. What did Danny promise to give away?
Oh, yeah. I think they're going to have to tell us. So one other thing, I had a question for you, actually.
Uh-oh.
I have two questions for you.
Okay.
First question. Mm. When are we going to get to see the Renegade Studio?
Oh, it's not ready yet.
Okay.
So right now there's frames all over the walls, like leaning up against places that we want to hang the frames, but there's no artwork in the frames. So Robin's working on it and with Anita, but they're both super busy. So yeah, so there's nothing up on the walls and get over there and do some stuff. Oh, I have been going through resumes the last couple weeks, so I'm getting ready to contact people for a video editor position that can be remote, but we'd prefer somebody in San Diego, but we have some good candidates that are both. And then we also had a position that we advertised that is an in-house play test facilitator. And that's a part-time position, just like one day a week, maybe some nights and weekends occasionally. But that person has to be in San Diego because that's where we are. It's hard to facilitate play tests in our studio if you're not here. So yeah, so I'm going to be going through that stuff and setting up interviews for next week, and hopefully we'll have that done. And then we're buying equipment. We're going to be able to stream from there, and all that's kind of coming together. But yeah, we'll show it to you when it's done.
When yeah, it's, that's better.
When it's prettier. Danny's working in the back. Like, she moved in like all our freight for all our events and stuff like that. Nobody should see that.
Oh, no. It's really just sort of like the back of your closet. That's not what you show guests when they
no,
come
over. No, those are the doors you close.
Yep. That is where all the snacks are, though. I'm not sure that you thought that one through.
That's true. There are treats in there.
Yep. Okay, so that was one question. Second question, you didn't tell us what your favorite type of ice cream actually is.
Oh, well, usually chocolate with almonds in it.
So that really is your favorite kind of ice cream?
That would be my first choice. But I like ice cream so much that I have a hard time just eating one type.
I've seen you eat lots of different types of ice cream, so that does check out.
Yeah. I've been to some pretty good ice cream places too. Yep. So if I ever go to the grocery store, it's always like, buy a standby, buy something new.
Buy a decoy that the kids will eat, buy something I want to eat.
Oh, that's the worst. You know what they do too, the little bastards? They'll take the...
I'm pretty sure that's not the correct term.
I'm sorry. Those darling, lovely children, they will take the tub of ice cream, eat all of it out of it, and put it back in the freezer. Like, I say it's empty. They'll say, like, you know, there's maybe like one spoonful left in the bottom, and they'll put it in there. So you go to open up the, you know, you go open up the freezer, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get some ice cream. And you take that, you grab that thing, and it's, you know, that thing where you're expecting it to have some mass, and it just goes flying out of your hand, and it's totally empty. Yeah. They do that with bags of cookies, anything good. They clean them out and then leave the empty packaging. Yeah. Yeah, someday we won't have any kids in this damn house.
Good luck with that. Yeah, you have a great track record so far for getting rid of them.
No, they all live here. It's all fine. You know, if anything, it's more because then as they get older, they have more friends and their friends come over and hang out too. So that's okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure we got any updates about this giveaway. I could definitely do a giveaway. Should we just... give up?
Danny, which game did you promise to give away? Tell us in chat, Danny. She says I have a giveaway. So she, okay, but can you run it from your...
Oh, she says Hokkaido.
Right, but what was the contest?
I don't know, because now they know.
Oh, she has a question. Okay. So you can post... All right, speed answer. So everybody, she's going to post the question in chat. The first person to answer with the proper answer wins a copy of Hokkaido. All right.
It'll be very exciting.
So she says, chat, are you ready? In case you're not reading or your glasses are somewhere where you can't find them.
Or your keyboard doesn't exist. I'm not sure.
Hard to say. Okay, Danny, go. What's the question?
While we're waiting. I love our worm standees. They're hilarious.
What type of terrain is added in Hokkaido that is not present in Honshu?
Oh, that's a good question.
Somebody said tentacles.
I don't think that's the right answer.
Oh, Mr. Tentacles. Okay.
Makes sense. Oh, things are looking good.
You will accept Garrett's answer. Mountainous. Yeah, that's the same thing.
Nice.
All right, Garrett, congratulations. You won a copy of Hokkaido. You need to email somebody, Danny, message Danny Lowe, or email customer service@renegadegames.com and tell them your name. They will have your name, so don't try to cheat. and they'll verify your identity, and then they'll ship you out a copy of the game. There you go. Good job, Garrett.
Nice. And
some other people got it right too, but Garrett was just really fast on the keys.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Cool, cool. Well, that should be fun. Hokkaido's awesome.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that game. It's like Honshu, but with some extra stuff, which makes it fun.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I have one more thing. It's sort of like a fake surprise.
Oh, wait, there's more.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I got this in the mail.
Oh, that's the other day. Exciting. So everybody, what you're looking at here looks like absolutely nothing to you. These are called they're white box samples. Oh, very clever name. So oftentimes when we're producing something, the very first time that we test out the materials and the way it packs in the box, the factory will print out a plain white box, and all of the components inside, board, punch board sheets, even cards, everything will be unprinted raw materials, but the exact same dimensions materials that we'll use in the finished product, and will send us a white box sample. So for some reason, Sarah's gotten a white box sample of what, Sarah? What is that very impressive, exciting looking thing?
We haven't announced it yet. It's still a surprise, but I am going to be wrapping it and hand making an actual box. So it's got the picture and the sides and all that kind of stuff for New York Toy Fair next week. And then at Gamma, we're going to announce what it is. So we just have a few more weeks and then you'll find out. But it's very exciting. I can't wait for this one.
Okay. So yay, everybody, you got to see a plain box. Thank you, Sarah.
I thought that everyone would be as excited as I am.
Yeah. Well, you're excited because you get to do arts and crafts.
Uh-huh. It's fun. Yeah. It's like origami, but you end up with a game at the end.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know who's really big into origami? Robin. You should ask her about it.
What? Oh, I love origami.
It's a reference. So.
It's a reference?
No, it's a running joke.
Oh. Okay.
Ask her about it.
I will.
Ask her about origami and it'll get me in trouble, so it's fine.
Nice. Yes, those are always the best questions. Oh, good. Well, does anybody in chat have any questions that will get Scott in trouble or any other questions? Those are the best kind, but we'll take other ones too. Nothing yet.
No, I think they're good. They were a feisty bunch. They were talking ice cream and trolling us, and Danny was doing a good job keeping things calm, but like the plot to Pulp Fiction. Whoa.
Things have gotten a little weird.
Yeah.
That's all right.
We might have crossed the finish line. It might be time to wrap this up on that note.
That's fair. Well, I have some other pieces of Terra Below. I'm going to be taking some pictures of these and posting in the comments and in some updates. We have more story coming up. So if you are not yet following us, please do. It's going to be a fun campaign. And we have a Terra Below Facebook group you can go and join too if you are excited about that.
All right. So one last question. Somebody asked, Jason Miller says, what is everyone's nickname at Renegade? There's only really one. So Danny responded, says, I'm known as the millennial. That's not really a nickname. It's more of just a label to keep so everybody else knows what they're dealing with.
Descriptor.
Yeah. The only true nickname is Sarah's, I think.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Bojo. Bojo is sort of a nickname.
That's true. Dan Bojanowski, people know him as Bojo, but he had that nickname before he was even in the game industry, for sure. But yeah, besides the enemy of fun, I don't think anybody else has a nickname.
So that's our mission. We need to come up with a nickname for Scott now.
I don't need a nickname.
Supreme Overlord.
No. Okay.
On that note. Awesome. Well, thank you, everyone. It's been fun. We will be back in 2 weeks. Is that real? Yeah. Sure. We'll probably be back in 2 weeks. We'll find out later.
So, Danny Lowe.
Nice. Awesome. Well, thank you all so much, and we will see you later. Bye.
Bye.